review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Now checking Wall Street stocks sharply lower in the early trading here. The Dow down 281 points, NASDAQ down 160, the S&P down 45 points. Again, in sports, Yankee home opener postponed in the Bronx. They'll play it tomorrow at 4. The Mets versus the Phillies still on. Matt Harvey gets the start for the Mets. Our pregame coverage begins at 6:05. It's 11:06 now, and that's the news. Next update at 11:30, breaking news at once. Wake up with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR, an NBC News radio station.
Your shot at $1,000. Now, text the keyword BILLS to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BILLS to 200-200.
710 WOR. Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, Yankees opening day canceled, postponed until tomorrow. The snow, the rain, whatever it is stopped. It's over. And it'll head into the upper 40s the rest of the day, so it'll start melting. If you're in Manhattan, it's not on the streets. It's gone. It's look at that rooftop over there. It's gone off that rooftop.
Perfect. I like the way it's disappearing snow.
Rain tomorrow. That'll wash away the rest of it. It's going to be in the 50s tomorrow. So, well, what are they going to do about this opening day? It's supposed to rain all day tomorrow.
I know, and I don't know why. They probably should have played it today.
But they can't play it today because it's, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, well, they could have just pushed it back a little to clean out the stadium. The problem, I think, is
it's
the
all snow. So wet. It's all wet that you can get injuries.
It's going to be wet tomorrow. Wetter, I think.
Yeah, they didn't really think this one through. The reason they canceled it is the grass will be so wet, it'd be easy to slip, too many chance of injuries. But tomorrow, it rains all day. So what do they do?
Wednesday.
Well, how did they push it back? Wasn't there a game scheduled for tomorrow?
No, the home opener always has an open date after just in case of
inclement
weather.
Look how they think
of
all these things. Yeah, well. So, what could they do? Push it back to Wednesday?
Well, they have a game scheduled for Wednesday.
What time? They could play a doubleheader.
I'm not quite sure. I think the Yankees may have an afternoon game that day.
Yeah, okay, so that could be opening day.
Maybe. Although it's supposed to rain Wednesday.
I was watching morning TV. They had the chef, head chef of Yankee Stadium on, showing all the things they prepared. They got all this great food now.
Yeah.
Look at this. We're going to have this. We're going to have this. We're going to have this. What are they doing now? Throwing it all out? I don't think it's going to keep until Wednesday.
Keep it warm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Reheat it.
I don't know. But they were showing all the things. They got Yankee French fries, Yankee milkshakes, Yankee. Aren't these fans fat enough already? The president came up with the most brilliant idea ever. President Trump. This is sheer genius. He has invited Vladimir Putin to the White House. What are you shaking your head for? It's brilliant. These crazed Democrats, these crazed media, fake news liberals are ready to explode now.
Oh, that's really collusion now.
Oh, no, this will push them right over. This will push them right over the edge. You think Don Lemon was angry before? You think Jake Tapper was mad before? You think Chuck Todd was crazed before? Watch this.
So this we're forgiving everything they've done.
Well, what did they do that they weren't always doing? They tampered with the 2012 election, the 2008 election.
Yeah, but they
get caught. No, but they were always doing that. They were, when Obama was congratulating Putin and all that, he had invaded Crimea. He had poisoned that guy in Russia, in London. Remember the guy with the bad sushi?
Yeah.
the plutonium roll?
Oh, my. Kim Jong-un, now Vladimir Putin.
It's worth having them come to the White House just to watch these idiots go in completely crazy. I can't wait to watch Rachel Maddow tonight. Actually, I'll watch Hannity, but I'll TiVo her just to see. I want to see her reaction to Putin coming to the White House. Well, actually, not tonight. Wait till he actually is there and they do their joint press conference and they have dinner together. I want to watch these people go completely insane. I think that what the president should concentrate on, pushing them completely over the edge.
Well, that's going to be an interesting scene to watch because there's a lot of people that say that Trump is kind of infatuated with Putin.
I don't think so.
No. Well, we'll see.
No. Putin's a very powerful guy. On the world stage, Putin and the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, those are the biggest players.
Yes.
And that's the way Trump has always been. Whenever he goes into any business, anything, he looks for the biggest player and works out a deal with him. If you read The Art of the Deal, he says that like in chapter 3, find the biggest player on that stage and go make a deal with him. That's what he's doing here. You know, when he first got into the casino business, there he was with Steve Wynn and all the big guys there. Golf course business, right away he's meeting with the top golf course guys. World affairs, you meet with Putin and you meet with Xi Jinping.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a bad thing.
No, it's a great thing. That's the idea. And, you know, he is a great negotiator, and he does work out great deals. The Obama approach of being totally aloof, withdrawing from the world, just being totally out of it, that didn't work. It really didn't. So you never know. You could make some kind of deal. The Art of the Deal, you should go back and read the book. It's really interesting because he explains step by step how you do it. But part of it is, finding, there's always something that guy wants. There's always five or six things you could give that guy, and you trade something for it. So,
what do we have that he wants?
You never know what it is. You know, even Trump, with the Palestinians, with other things, with the Saudis, with that, he's already found little things. Did you know that, for instance, the Saudis desperately would love to run a railroad through the Palestinian territory? It would really, really help with the delivery of oil. It's cheaper by freight than whatever. So, and it would mean a tremendous amount of money for the Palestinians. He said, that's already one thing he's going to put on the table. You find these little things that can help in negotiation. So just to see Putin come to the White House will be worth it. Just to watch that. You know, these liberals, these Democrats, there's this Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yes.
They're trying to put together a big network now. They already have a little network, but they've bought major television stations, including Channel 11 here in New York.
This is a conservative organization.
It's a TV network, but they tend to be conservative, and yeah, their news coverage tends to be conservative. So,
wasn't there an edict to do conservative news?
I don't know if it's an edict. They say that. This is the fake news media is going insane over this Sinclair Broadcasting because they think it's going to be conservative slanted news. So they're going nuts trying to stop them. Because the idea is, it's unfair, it screws up the balance to have 127 liberal networks and one conservative network. Now it could be two. That's just screwing up the balance. They don't like that. These liberals are not big on diversity, are they, when it comes to thought?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that much about Sinclair.
Hey, let's say it's the most slanted right-wing thing in the world. What would that do except maybe be the opposite of CNN, which would be great. It doesn't make sense to have 47 totally liberal biased networks and one conservative network.
It would be interesting to get another perspective, yes.
Yeah. Look at this, Roseanne. One show is pro-Trump out of everything on network television. Out of 417 shows on network television, one is pro-Trump and they want to shut it down. They're already going crazy over Roseanne. So, you know, one thing about liberals, they're never liberal. That's the problem. They don't want any diversity when it comes to thought. Take the border. I thought they love regulation. That's the one thing. They don't want any regulation, border wide open. President Trump is right about that one thing with that border. You got to have that wall. It's not just the illegal streaming across. Drugs are flowing across there. You know, you look at how many parts of this country devastated by the drug crisis. All those drugs. Every study shows that over 98% of those drugs are coming across the border. Not to mention all those guns. David Hogg, where are you? On the border. That's where a lot of these guns are coming from. The president threatening Mexico with NAFTA, that's a big source of funding them. Hey, and the Mexicans, I don't think, are playing their hand right. They're shipping all these refugees now to push across the border. By the way, the southern Mexico border has a wall, and if you come across it, they shoot you on sight. But now they're bringing in these railroad cars.
Yeah, but they're going into Mexico.
Yeah, but Mexico's letting them in.
Right.
They control that southern border very well. Mexico's letting them in to ship them up here. I don't think that's the best strategy to challenge Trump, to call his bluff. It's not a great strategy.
Well, they're not all going to come here.
Oh, yeah, they're all coming here.
Mexico has got to help us at the border. They flow right through Mexico. They send it to the United States. Can't happen that way anymore.
Yeah, and what a tribute to Mexico that all your citizens are running out of the country as fast as they can. Then we say, well, why don't you build a wall on the northern border? Apparently people like Canada. Nobody has ever left Canada. They do it legally, but nobody streams across the border. Every country has a border except us. 38 countries have just built the same exact wall, and it works fine. But what a tribute to Mexico that all of its citizens run out of the country, swim out of the country, anything to get over here. Hey, Stephen Bochco, the great TV producer. He was kind of a, he just died. He was 74 years old, but he was kind of a tough guy. He was very pushy about things. It had to be his way, or he was very, very tough to deal with. Network executives, a lot of them didn't like Bochco. Because he told you, this is the way it is. You got to sign an agreement that you can have no say in the show at all. You can't tamper in any way. And he was always pushing the envelope. You know, the first thing he did was the first Columbo episode ever. You remember the one? It's Jack Cassidy. He's a mystery writer and he kills his partner.
Yeah.
That was actually the very first Columbo episode of the series, like 1971. Two totally unknown guys worked on that. Stephen Bochco wrote it, totally unknown. It was his first big break. And they had a kid who was like 23, directed, who'd never done anything before. His name was Steven Spielberg.
Oh, wow.
So these two guys did the first Columbo. And then Bochco turned out, he was a genius. He did, I guess Hill Street Blues was the first big show on his own. Hill Street Blues, was the 80s, was sort of a revolutionary show. Nobody had seen anything quite like it. And then my favorite, NYPD Blue, really pushed the envelope. That's one where he really fought with the networks. He wanted to use the F word, the S word, every word in there. He had nudity in the show. This was unheard of on network television. You know, it was scheduled.
That's right. I do remember that. They were a little racy, weren't they?
Oh, very racy.
Yeah.
The S word was in there and nudity, actual nudity on network television. And it was supposed to start in 92, but there was so much fighting over it, they had to delay it for a year. It didn't start till 93. And Bochco was fighting, like they were desperate to get one of his shows because they were always big number one shows and made money, but he held out for that language. That he was quite the crusader. But looking back on it, you know, what are you crusading for? To say the S word on TV? You couldn't have done the show without it.
You know, it's artistic stuff.
Yeah, that was his. But he finally hammered out an agreement that they would allow 47 instances in the season. I don't know where they came up with that number, but they would allow the dirty words 47 times during the season, which would be about 25 episodes or something. So
just under the FCC regulation, maybe.
I don't know. Somehow he told me once. They hammered out this agreement 47 times. And then the opening episode, the first episode, there was a scene where a guy gives Andy Sipowicz the finger, and you actually see it.
Wow.
And the network put their foot down, and they said, you can't do it. But that 47 times, he had that in writing. So he said, if you don't let me do it, I'm going to use all 47 times on one scene. I'm going to have the guy say 47 dirty words at once. So they gave him a finger.
Hey, give the guy some credit, huh? He's a good negotiator. Donald Trump would like him.
Yeah, no, he was great. He was very tough. He was a really tough guy.
That's pretty good.
He was kind of humorless, and but he knew what he wanted, and he fought like crazy for it. Oh, I forgot the other big show. Remember L.A. Law? That was another big 80s show. L.A. Law. And then what else? Doogie Howser.
Yep.
Who was Doogie Howser? Was it Neil Patrick Harris?
I think so. Yeah, it was a young doctor, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great show. And he had a few other. It was Brooklyn South. He had some that didn't quite make it, but they were really good shows. They just didn't. It was the wrong timing or the wrong something. So it was only 74.
I know. I don't like hearing that number.
Well, I don't know what happened there, but you know, ever been to Lord & Taylor?
Yes.
I never went to Lord & Taylor in my life. Never.
Really?
Until about 3 weeks ago.
So you're the one.
3 weeks ago. First time. I mean, I'd been buy a Lord & Taylor. I was never actually in a Lord & Taylor or bought anything until 3 weeks ago. And I bought one thing. Now, look.
You're hacked.
It turns out Saks, Lord & Taylor, is it everybody? Every customer's been hacked? They got the credit card information?
5 million customers,
5 million customers hacked. So what does this mean? What do I have to do?
Keep an eye on your credit card, I guess. Well, your Lord. Well, did you do it? Oh, wow! That they would have if you didn't have a Lord & Taylor credit card.
No, I didn't.
You use like American Express or
something like that. Yeah,
like they have that information.
Oh,
keep an eye on.
So you're saying they didn't hack the Lord & Taylor credit cards?
Yeah, whatever credit card information you use to make your purchase.
The most annoying thing is when you're in a store and you give me a credit card. Would you like to open a Bloomingdale's charge? Yeah. Would you like to open a Macy's charge? No. You sure you'll get extra points?
10% off.
You'll get 10% off if you open a Bloomingdale's charge. Well, I don't want to. Well, you'll get another 50 bonus points if you do it. don't ever open a Bloomingdale's charge, a Macy's charge, or a Saks charge. I don't know why, but if they're pushing you that hard to open these charges, believe me, it's not in your benefit. And if they're offering you 50% off and we'll give you bonus points, it must not be for you. If it was good for you, they'd be able to tell you why. I think it's just them trying to not pay the 3% to American Express.
Well, there's that too. And then, you know, the very good possibility that people are not going to pay all of their bill and they'll be able to charge interest.
That too. And then also, I guess American Express doesn't sell them all the information about you. But if you have their credit card, they'll have all the information about you. So, anyway, that's... if you have shopped at Saks and Lord & Taylor, are you supposed to do something? Go check a website or go...
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. They said they're on it.
They're on it. So a couple months, they'll get back to you.
You should have done it online.
Yeah. Hey, Nelson Mandela's wife, Winnie Mandela, passed away. How old was she? She was,
I think 81.
That's it? 81?
81, yeah.
It is the most fascinating thing ever. Chris Rock was the first guy to point this out. It is fascinating. Nelson Mandela went to that horrible prison for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. They put him in prison just to silence him. And it wasn't even a prison. It was like a torture chamber for 20 years. I don't know how this guy got through it. That's what made him such a hero, that he got through this 20 years locked in this disgusting dungeon. And they tortured Nelson Mandela for 20 years. He was in this dungeon. He was able to get through it. He never flinched. Then he got out. After 20 years, they released him, and he went home to his wife. And after like 3 weeks, he gets divorced. He couldn't take the marriage, the prison he got through, but the marriage he had to get out of, he couldn't do it. It's fascinating, isn't it?
I never thought of it that way, but yes.
Well, it's Chris Rock that first brought that up. He's right. He goes back to living with the wife. That he had to escape from. The prison was he was able to get through, but the wife, I got to get a divorce. I got to get it. It's unbelievable. It's one of the most amazing stories in history. Anyway, we'll take some calls in a minute. 800-321-0710 is the number. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Watch this Morgan Freeman. You got to be really old. When these guys get really old, they're not afraid of anybody.
Yeah.
They'll say anything. He's on with that biased nut Don Lemon on CNN. Watch him tell him off and straighten out Don Lemon right on the air. And then, you know, he's trying to make it sound like Melania and Donald Trump are fighting. Nobody had better fights in public than Michelle and Barack Obama. She had to slap him around in public a couple times. Take a look at the video. And then, watch the rabbi blow the shofar. It doesn't go well. Something goes wrong. Take a look at it. It's very funny. And then, if you're a liberal, don't watch this video. It's Alan Dershowitz explaining, the great legal scholar, why nothing Trump's accused of could possibly be a crime. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com. Then go over to the Mark Simone page. Or you can just go to 710WOR.com/Mark.
And a guy said that the name, there's a quarterback for the New York Jets named Teddy Bridgewater. And he reminded him of Teddy Kennedy.
Yeah.
I thought I'd share that with you.
That's a riveting story. If you're ever doing like a big speech in front of like 10,000 people, don't close with that.
Okay.
it's not a big one. Anyway, where are you in Florida?
Dunedin.
Where?
Dunedin. It's right next to Clearwater.
Oh.
Clearwater Beach.
What made you, did you move there?
Yeah, I moved there 3 years ago. Retired 5 years ago.
Oh, why'd you pick that place? It sounds like way out in the middle of nowhere there.
Well, a friend of mine who was from New York said that now you're retired. You don't belong with the working people no more. You don't belong down here with the retired people, so that's why I'm down here.
Yeah, a lot of people think, I'll move down there, beautiful weather all year. But tell the truth, you go stir crazy after a while, right?
Yeah, it gets kind of boring. The nice weather does get kind of boring, I have to admit that.
Yeah, you don't appreciate the nice weather when you have it all the time. And when they say nice weather, it's like 150 all summer.
you wear the weather.
And tell the truth, you got fighting off alligators, you got lizards in your house, it's terrible down there.
And you got these big cockroaches that fly around in your
exactly.
house.
Exactly! All right, good call. Stay the hell out of Florida. It's much better here. A little snow won't kill you. Lorraine in the Valley Stream. Hey, Lorraine.
Oh, hi, Mark. Good morning and happy Easter to you, hon.
Thanks.
Yeah, listen, I don't know, but I just can't believe that this is unlawful. A friend of mine has a restaurant down on 7th and 24th Street.
Yeah.
And I heard this even on Fox and Friends, somebody saying that there are people that are stopping these places to show Fox News. My friend who has his restaurant, he cannot put Fox News on the TV. They won't allow it. And this guy has who goes to this gym, they're not permitting them to show Fox News. They said they won't allow it to be seen.
I know. It's unbelievable. These liberals, we need to, like, get them therapy or something. They're just crazy. The most biased network on earth, CNN, is in every airport. There's actually a lot of people now demanding that CNN not be shown in all the airports and all those places and the gyms and everywhere. But those are conservatives. They're never organized enough. Those liberals know how to organize. You notice Laura Ingraham makes fun of that David Hogg. Within 12 seconds, every sponsor's address is up online. Media Matters, George Soros, they're all behind this kid. Nine sponsors are knocked out. Next thing you know, it's 11. This is 11 sponsors gone in 20 minutes.
Now she's gone. She's taking a vacation.
Although, I know, it sounds like what happened to Bill O'Reilly, where all of a sudden, vacation next week.
Yeah.
Although, checking into it, it looks like it was a planned vacation. She's taking her kids on spring break vacation. It turns out in Washington, this is the week of spring break, vacation week. So I think it sounds like it was a planned vacation. That's 1 week. We'll okay. see if she comes back after that.
Right.
Let's go to Dave in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Yes, Mark, I see that there's supposed to be some sort of a cancer agent in coffee, and they're...
No, that's some crazy judge in California. That's one of those California nut job judges. No, coffee is good for you.
Coffee is good for you, but they said something about the roasting process. It's possible it's like 1 in 1 million where it's perfectly safe.
I don't know. You know, that's maybe with Starbucks, because you ever see how their stuff, the way they roast it, it's like the most burnt up coffee taste. So,
Mark, they used to talk about that with soda, but they'd say you'd have to drink about literally 40 gallons of, say, Coke in order to duplicate what they test on a rat as far as cancer and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's true. They, you know, when they say, oh, a rat tested, they like shove so much Diet Coke. You know, in the lab, you got these mice going, enough with the Diet Coke. It's just awful. First of all, it was really going to kill them. They would tell you, put that in the mousetrap or something. They would. Anything will kill you in excess. In moderation, it's not going to hurt you. One more call. Tom in Elmont, New York. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good.
I want to say hello. Listen, I'm happy about the Roseanne Barr show. But whatever happened to the Tim Allen show, Last Man Standing?
Yeah, that was the last time they tried a conservative character on television. It was doing very well in the ratings. They still canceled it immediately. They said, oh, production costs are too high. It was the same exact cost of every other sitcom. There's a lot of people saying to Roseanne, bring back that Tim Allen character. Make him your next-door neighbor to work him into this show. But we'll see what happens. Ed Rollins will be with us next. He's the dean of all of this, the expert on White Houses. Is it chaos in the White House? We'll talk to him about everything President Trump is up to. Coming up next on 710 WOR. Let's get to the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Mark, a spring snowstorm has left about 5 inches of snow in Central Park this morning. It's made roads slippery across the tri-state area, caused today's Yankee home opener to be postponed. They'll try and make it up tomorrow afternoon at 4. For the moment, the Mets are still on. They're scheduled to play at 7:10 tonight. Our coverage on WOR begins at 6:05. President Trump attacking his own Justice Department and the FBI on Twitter. He says they're not turning over unredacted documents requested by Congress. He calls it an embarrassment to our country. And Winnie Mandela, the former wife of Nelson Mandela, has died at the age of 81. She, too, was a leader in the fight against apartheid in South Africa. Mandela battled several illnesses in recent years and was recently hospitalized for a kidney infection. Our next update at noon, breaking news at once, and start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR.
Snow ending with clouds this afternoon, as we'll see temperatures topping out at 44, a few clouds tonight, low 38, rain back in the forecast tomorrow with mid-40s for highs, and showers with windy conditions on Wednesday, warmer temperatures 67, sunshine Thursday, a little cooler, high 48. We have light snow this hour, 33 at WOR.
710 WOR.
Well, let's turn to the smartest guy around when it comes to this stuff, the dean himself. He's been in the White House. He's been in the campaigns. He's been in the trenches. Ed Rollins, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. How are you? I hope you had a nice Easter and Passover.
Very good Easter and all Passover. And hey, also, you run the Great America PAC, which is going to be a big, important factor in the midterm elections. And so what do you think? How does it look for the midterms?
You know, I think we're going to pick up Senate seats. I think we've got some strong candidates against some of the incumbents. I would love to say we're going to pick up 10 or 15 seats out of the 25 Democrats that are up. But I think if we get to 8 to 10 and be competitive, we'll be doing well. The House is a little more difficult. The House is obviously historically, there's only been 3 times since the Civil War that a president's party picks up seats. Our biggest problem is we've got a lot of open. We have 37 open seats today, in which you don't have incumbents defending themselves. So I would say at this point in time, it's very, very competitive.
So let's say the Democrats win the House by one seat. Would you say that's absolutely 100% guaranteed impeachment?
I would say they would certainly make that effort. The problem they have is that nothing seems to be sticking to Trump. And, you know, the new Rasmussen poll for the first time, he's at 50% approval rating. You know, the Congress is literally down at 14-15%. Nancy Pelosi's down at 20-21%. So, you know, there's not any great love for the Congress and what the Congress is going to do. And as we found out in Republicans, when we took on Bill Clinton and tried to impeach him when Newt Gingrich was the speaker, it turned out to be a disaster for Republicans. And so my sense is if Democrats try and do it, they better have a lot more than they have today. And Trump is a very, very tough, aggressive campaigner. So I just think it's time to get this stuff behind us and get on the problems facing the country.
Yeah. Ed Rollins, when they say, well, it's chaos in the White House, I know the changes are coming fast and furious, but that's the way a private sector guy tends to operate. But in each case, hasn't the change been an improvement of some kind?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a comfort level. As I've said repeatedly on your show and others, president's entitled to whoever he wants. He can have nobody or he can have everybody. It's his choice. It's how does he best function. He's the guy that has to make the 3 or 4 big decisions every day. And I think what happened is early on, he didn't know a lot of the people that were picked for him by Priebus and Bannon and others in his cabinet. I think he's developed a relationship with some of them, and some of them, they haven't performed very well. So my sense is the people he's putting in there now, there's a comfort level. He has confidence in them. He knows they believe in what he believes in, and they're great communicators, which is really what the game is from here on out. So I think it's definitely an improvement.
Sometimes he says something or he tweets something. Like he talked about Syria over the weekend, and then you hear all the swamp people say, "Oh, you can't do that. He's got to go through his State Department, and he has to coordinate with them." Is that true, or can the president just say?
No, absolutely not. He can do whatever he wants to. He's the president. Everybody cabinet officer runs on reflected power. It's his power. He got the power by from the people, and he in turn basically designates to the State Department or other things certain responsibilities. But it's still ultimately his job, his duties. He makes the decisions. So if he wants to meet with the Russians, it's his prerogative. If he wants to basically pull out of Syria, he can sit down with his advisors and ask how best to do that. But at the end of the day, the president gets to make the decisions in the White House.
Yeah.
Congress obviously gets to make decisions on money and other things. But it's the president who has the power.
So he just invited, we found out this morning, he's invited to Putin to the White House for a summit. Sounds to me like a good idea.
I don't think talking to Putin or anybody else is a bad idea. I always think dialogue is a great strength. And he's very comfortable in those environments. He's never walked out of one of these in which people have perceived him to have lost the discussion. So I think at the end of the day, if Russia is our big antagonist here, let's sit down and find out why. See if there is any ability to move forward. They certainly are a world power. Not a world power in the same category that they once were, or certainly not in our category. But, you know, we need to straighten this out and have a relationship and see if we can find some common goals.
You know, Henry Kissinger said, you hear about this Donald Trump, you think he's kind of a clown, kind of a buffoon, but when you meet with him, he comes into the room as a powerful force. You realize this is a serious guy. So maybe that's a good reason for him to meet with these world leaders.
Well, every single meeting that he's had with world leaders, as I said, from the Chinese Xi, where he met Marlogo, to all the rest of them. I mean, he walks out, they're impressed with him, and at the end of the day, he gets some things done, and I think that's the key thing. So if he can pull off this North Korean meeting in the foreseeable future, he can meet with Putin, and Putin basically agrees to tone it back a little bit or promise not to do the unlawful things that he did in the course of the campaign. These are all positive things.
Yeah. Now, Ed Rollins, you've worked with Donald Trump a lot, and you've worked with a lot of presidents, and I don't know what you thought before you met Trump for the first time, but what was it like when you went in the room the first time?
The first time I met Trump, you know, it was a number of years ago in California. My ex-wife was the vice president of ABC News, and we were at an Oscar party, and he was there, didn't really know anybody. And the two of us ended up spending a couple hours standing around, sort of watching at the president's dinner, and had a nice conversation. Had lunch and dinner with him after that, and I think he's a smart guy. He's an impressive guy. He's a big physical guy. He's very, very sharp. And so, my sense is, you know, having worked for presidents, he certainly fits that category. You know, he doesn't behave in the same way that all of them do. I mean, he basically thinks out loud sometimes, but he knows what he wants to do. And clearly, you know, I think if there's one comment you can make about him, he made a lot of promises in the course of the campaign, and he's doing everything he can to fulfill those promises, which are very positive.
Yeah. You know, a lot of
promises kept.
Yeah, a lot of Reagan people that were in that administration all said, well, why can't he be more like Reagan? Why can't he be more like Reagan? That gentlemanly.
Well, it's a different time, different man, different skill set. Ronald Reagan was a great communicator and basically was very disciplined about what he said and how he said it. Trump, I think, is more of a thought-provoking guy and basically does what he thinks is, it's a different age, different time. And I